All right, guys, you ready? Peja, Vlade, Doug, Bobby, all on stage, Wingstop Studio. We'll be broadcasting it live 8 to 9. Hey, if you can't get in or you don't get in, don't worry. It'll be on the air right here on KHDK. We'll be streaming it at KHDK.com. Here's chance number two. And we'll give you one more chance at 8 a.m. And then the lowdown will take over. Give you chances at noon, 1 and 2 to get in. The word to text in to 44-1140 is wings. Wings, as in Wingstop. Wings.
As in what birds use to fly.
Yes, as in on the wings of love.
That. Oh, gross.
Wings.
Kyle, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Are you taking a selfie?
I'm taking a picture of Stephen A. Smith in an Aaron Rodgers jersey over his button-up shirt with a black cowboy hat on. He was also smoking a pipe with his feet kicked up on the desk.
You know, Stephen A. Smith gets killed by a lot of people, and rightfully so. But I'll tell you two things. Number one, he's very good at his job.
He is.
And number two, he is not afraid to look stupid. Sometimes he does it unintentionally, but he's not afraid to poke fun at himself.
Something you guys have in common.
That is true.
He's really hamming it up right now.
We also both have large foreheads. When we saw him down at Super Bowl in Houston, I was like, oh, my God, that's a five head. Dear Lord.
Might be a six.
That thing is a huge.
Huge.
All right, overreaction Friday.
Do you want some overreaction music?
Yeah, always.
I would. Let me hear from Mark Wahlberg first. Two quick reactions to that. Number one, as a fellow fanboy, I was actually like, you know what? You used to be Marky Mark in the Funky Bunch. This is a guy who used to be in jail once upon a time.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You should read about Mark Wahlberg's history. Absolutely. He was like a little roughneck kid from the streets of Boston.
From Boston,
He was Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block's little brother. That's who he was. And he has made himself an A-list actor, a household name. And he now got to give a speech to the crowd to...
I wonder if he was shaking like when you were up on the ladder.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably more used to being in front of people than I am.
Yeah.
But still,
it's like a fanboy thing.
What a dream come true.
Yeah.
And I was happy for him.
He totally just knows all the things I want to say that I'm not allowed to say right now on air because we would get totally in trouble. But you know what I'm saying.
On the other hand, Katie.
Just.
On the other hand, he left the Super Bowl early. He left early.
You would never do that,
he
Dave.
He left early. No one's forgetting it, Marky Mark. You left the damn thing early. You and Donald Trump left early. So you'll get bonus points. Oh, but hold on. His kid was sick. Guess what? Unless my kid is, I don't want to go there, but my kid had better have a freaking like 5 IVs and be cardio. Then I'm leaving. Otherwise, that's what my wife is for. I'm sorry. That's what my, if the Kings are in game 7 and my daughter gets sick, it sucks. I'll see you in a couple hours. Kings, you're fine. He left early,
you're
Kyle.
You're fine.
Would you say
he overreacted to the first half?
He overreacted to everything. Like first, second, third, and a large portion of the fourth.
He was segueing.
I know.
Into the music.
I know.
We got it ready. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We'll go to the phones. Overreaction Friday as the Patriots get destroyed by the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what you think it is.
Okay. I want to see the overreaction
Turn it up a little
music.
Bit.
Chris, you're on the drive.
Guys, good morning.
Morning.
I can tell you, after watching last night's game, I firmly believe this, and I bet you the world thinks this too. Alex Smith is going to win the MVP and beat Tom Brady's single-season touchdown record.
Wow.
Wow.
We need to write these down. Where did Chris go?
Gosh. He is going.
All right, I'm writing it down.
Alex Smith, the MVP. By the way, can I just say this?
September 8.
In all seriousness.
7:08 a.m. Go ahead.
My longtime running joke that as a Niner fan, we should have never let Alex Smith go and started Colin Kaepernick, which I've been saying since the day it happened. It just doesn't feel the same to say that anymore. Now it's uncomfortable.
Chris said Alex Smith wins the MVP and beats
Tom Brady's single season record. Mm-hmm. All right, overreaction Friday, number two. Mike, you're on the drive. What's your overreaction?
The Patriots can bleed. And
Wait, hold on, what?
The Patriots can bleed. It's over. They're done. Their season is over.
Oh, like he's channeling Ivan Drago, basically. You see, he's not a machine. He's a man.
They bleed.
They bleed. The Patriots bleed.
They die.
All right. I will. I'll kick it off. Three overreactions here, and feel free at 339-1140. I will. You know what? I'm going to defer. Actually, I always kick it off.
No, you're kicking it off.
You want me to kick it off?
Yeah.
Tom Brady. Guess what? Father Time's undefeated, baby. Father Time is undefeated in the history of the world. Father, except for Ponce de Leon, because he found the Fountain of Youth. He's undefeated. We saw Tom Brady. We were talking about it off the air, Katie. Tom Brady at one point in the fourth quarter late when the game was pretty much in hand, he went back to pass, and I think a four-mile-an-hour breeze hit him, and he just kind of crumpled down, and that was it. It was amazing.
You know, I'm not trying to take away from how great Tom Brady is, because he's always in that GOAT conversation,
yes.
And we've had it multiple times, different versions on this show, and he's always going to be in that conversation.
Yes.
But there's nothing funnier, and I'm not trying to knock the guy. Oh, it's just funny to me. When he gets outside of the pocket and has to scramble and use his feet, he looks like one of those old school video games that's like the
What was that one? Tecmo Bowl. He looks like a Tecmo Bowl player.
He is so slow. Oh my God. And then you like Kareem Hunt on the other hand, when they showed the graphic of him, like where he would rank in terms of the Olympic sprinters and the five.
Tyreek Hill.
Was that Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill, yes.
And it was like, oh my God, guy's so fast. Got wheels. Tom Brady has like peg legs.
What's your overreaction?
My overreaction is that the Chiefs are not going to even make the playoffs.
What?
Yeah, this is
what?
We said
overreaction, not dumb thing that could never happen.
They're going to, seriously, like when you look at that division and that division from top to bottom, when you look at the experts that are picking like who's going to win it and all this stuff, that is so tough, that division, right?
Yeah.
This was a great win for them. They're gonna feel a little too good about themselves, and they're gonna struggle.
Oh, maybe the effects of Eric
struggle.
Berry. You know what, Kyle? Since you went 8-bit. Somebody sent this to me yesterday. I want to go 8-bit too here. Let me see if this works. I heard the best 8-bit ever. We could use.
Oh, this is nice.
Wait for
I like
it.
Like this. Oh, is it going to drop?
somebody turned Toto's Africa into an 8-bit song. That's so close to my heart. Kyle, Overreaction Friday.
The Patriots dynasty just in general is done.
Wow.
Outside of the fluke that was the second half in the Super Bowl last year, because that's what that was. That was a fluke. They were getting smashed. That game was over. And then the Falcons made every bad decision, every bad play possible to lose that game. If the Patriots lose that game like normal and then go out there and get their rear ends handed to them here in week one, we're looking at people saying, hey, maybe this thing is over. And it is.
That's the conversation on every sports radio, sports TV show. You're right. It would be.
Because everybody went into the season saying the Patriots have more weapons than they've ever had, and they had nothing last night.
You know what? You might be right. Maybe this is it. Jimmy Garoppolo, where you at, baby?
Where you at, Jimmy?
Where you at, James?
Because I said last night, without Tom Brady, the Patriots won, their first three games? They went 3-1 without him, and wasn't it their fourth game that they lost?
Mm-hmm.
Tom's done. There we go. Overreaction Friday.
Tom is
old, and his mental exercises are not going to change that.
Here's my overreaction. Tom Brady is like 40 years old.
He's going to be at home in a year watching football in his $100 pajamas.
I'll tell you this much. Patriots aren't going 16-0. That's my prediction.
Jesus.
Not going to happen.
All right. Small sample size.
Right.
Let's
now
relax.
Four down territory is next. Are the Pats in trouble? Are the Chiefs legit? And we will talk about Eric Berry as well. It's a drive. Sports 1140. KHTK. Here's Toto. Dun, 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 dun.
Wrong one there.
Yeah, yeah. Atta, babe.
Are the Pats in trouble?
Yeah, they are, and not for an overreaction. Listen, Tom Brady will be fine. They'll get it together, and I still believe they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Honestly, I do. But that defense is all kinds of injured, and they're all kinds of out of sorts. That's the real problem. I'm not worried about their offense, and again, I'm not worried about the team as a whole. I'm worried about some of that depth they can't afford to lose. So it'll be very interesting to see them going forward. They're in New Orleans next against the Saints. That should be a win. But as somebody on the text line just said, and I agree, the Pats are still going to win 13-plus games this year. I fully believe that.
Well, here's my thing. I don't think that they're in trouble. I really don't. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into last night's game. As hard as it is for an opponent to go in and be a part of a team, you know, raising the banner and celebrating their Super Bowl win, it's also hard for the team that goes through the ceremony, is experiencing that kind of, there's a letdown after it. And we saw the Patriots came out really strong, but they didn't finish that way. And yes, problems with their defense. Tom Brady's offensive line is so freaking good. He had so much time in the pocket to make decisions. He has that ability to win games because of that. The defense, the coaching there, they're going to get better. They're going to figure some things out. They've just done the preseason. This is game one. They're still going to be the team to beat, period.
I think people are also underestimating, Kyle. That Chiefs defense is amazing.
It is.
And you saw with Rob Gronkowski.
Second ranked in the league.
Gronk had the touchdown called back. The ball, you know, it did hit the ground. Dante Hightower, though, is a guy, and they talked about this yesterday. I thought Chris Collinsworth made some great points.
He's a guy.
They can't afford to lose Dante Hightower.
No. He questionable to return, knee injury, that type of thing, went out. Yeah.
He's such a vital part of their defense and creating pressure off the edge. He's just he's such a good player. And like you said, their defense is maybe a little worrisome, but they thrive on finding guys and finding players on their roster that can fill a niche in that defense and adjusting their defense to the personnel they have.
And game one's always difficult because you don't have a scout. You have last year to see what they're doing. Now there's video.
And as
you go from there.
I forget who I'm stealing this off of Twitter, but I'll give them credit. They said, listen, Andy Reid's coming off the longest bye possible, and he's always good there.
Yeah.
He also hibernated. He's the slimmest he's going to be all year long. Mm-hmm. He's coming out for the wintertime. This is the toughest time to play the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they pulled out all the stops.
They absolutely did. Number two.
Are the Chiefs legitimately as good as they were last night?
I think they are, but like I said earlier, there's the thing that they play in a much tougher division than like the Patriots, right? So like we didn't get to our picks yesterday for the AFC West, like all of the divisions, but obviously the AFC West with the Raiders in there.
Sure.
And I have it written here, Dave. Who do I have right next to AFC West as my winner for that division?
The Packers?
Oh, you're such an idiot.
She's got the Chiefs.
I have the Chiefs, but it's difficult for me because I think the Raiders are going to be very good. But again, it's just that division, the beatdown. I think that the Chiefs are going to win the division. They're a very, very good team. The question is, are they going to be good in the playoffs? That's always their issue.
This team was 12-4 last year. This team was, it's not like some fluky thing. We just forget about the Chiefs because we don't think they'll ever do anything in the playoffs. I don't think Alex Smith had two pass plays yesterday. What was it, 70-plus yards?
He had a 68-yarder, didn't he?
Something, or 50, whatever it was, which was the exact amount he had last year. They showed up a graphic.
Broke a record.
He had, going into last night, six games of 400 yards plus in his entire freaking career. Was it a little fluky yesterday? Yes, but Tyreek Hill, who's another guy they hope is okay. Tyreek Hill was an amazing rookie last year. Kareem Hunt is the real deal, and that defense is insane.
Tyreek Hill left with cramps. That's what it was.
He just
not of the menstrual sort,
no,
of the leg
thank
sort.
You for,
I was just clarifying
that,
it because I know sometimes
just,
you're.
Come on, really, that's over the line.
Anytime you talk about stuff like that, Dave just gets so disgusted.
Yeah, it's just
as
Dave,
if he hasn't been married for 10 years.
Not any other man in the world. Kyle, are the Chiefs this good?
Yeah, if Alex Smith, here's a bold thing. If Alex Smith is going to throw for 400-ish yards every game, I think they're going to be all right.
Wow,
no,
hot take.
If he gets the ball down the field, that's what's been holding them back.
Right.
Is him moving the ball down the field through the air. If they can continue to do that, they're going to be very good.
Got the home run hitters, man. People said Alex Smith can't throw downfield. Third down.
Is Kareem Hunt this good.
Yeah, he is.
And so you just said he's the real deal.
He is the real deal. He was the real deal at Toledo. And they showed the graphic yesterday, too. He fumbled in his first touch in the NFL. He fumbled once at Toledo, and he recovered the ball. The guy holds on to the ball. He's a dual threat. Catching, rushing. Is Kareem Hunt going to go for 200-plus yards from scrimmage every game? Absolutely not. But he is the real deal, and I think you saw the birth of a star yesterday. People were fawning all over him in preseason. The Chiefs, historically, whether it's Christian Okoye or Priest Holmes or Jamal Charles, put a guy in there. They're like the Broncos were once upon a time when it was Alandis Gary and Mike Anderson taking over. Just plug and play with these guys. Kareem Hunt's a guy that's in a plug and play rushing offense who happens to be damn, damn good.
Going to disagree with you on whether or not he's the real deal.
But
the difference is here, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying about having scout, like having a video to be able to scout guys and teams.
Sure.
This is week one. Patriots didn't know exactly what they were getting with Kareem Hunt. They didn't know exactly what to expect and his capabilities. Trust me now, everybody in the NFL saw that. There is going to be much different coverage on this kid. Much difference. I still think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good, but it's going to be more challenging now as each week goes by because teams are going to key in on him and those defenses are going to have him scouted.
Kyle, he broke a 58-yarder yesterday, but 17 attempts, a 148 on the ground with a touchdown. Even more impressive to me, he was targeted 5 times. He caught the ball 5 times for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns against a Patriots defense that was supposedly so good.
78-yard touchdown.
I started him in one of my fantasy leagues. That's how good they are.
Andy Reid's going to find ways to get this guy the ball in space and make plays. That's what Andy Reid is very good at as a coach. Not so great at clock management, but he's very good at scheming guys open and finding ways to get guys the ball in a position to make plays. And Hunt was a third-round pick, but a consensus by draft people like, hey, this guy's going
to
be a player.
And they traded up to get him, too. Yeah. Good move. Fourth down.
Which would the Chiefs rather have, this win or Eric Berry? Who's
your
presumably
turn.
Out for the year?
Weirdly enough, I'm going to say I think if you ask them, they'd say this win. I think Eric Berry's more important. I think they would trade that loss because they were expected to lose. It's one loss. Eric Berry losing him over an entire season. He and Justin Houston are the heart and soul of that defense. And with him being out, he is the team leader. That is something that will hurt them. How that affects their record, I don't know. But I think that loss is actually bigger than the win.
Yeah, this is always a difficult question, especially in team sports, to say that one guy is like the difference on a team. But you're right. He's very, very important to that defense. And I'm trying to look it up to see what their depth chart is and who's the backup and who's going to be filling in for him now that he's gone. But our computers are so dang slow.
Sure they are.
But the win is very important for the Chiefs. So I'm going to say that the win is probably more important in this sense. You never want to see a guy go out with an injury like that, especially. But in the whole scheme of things, you want to believe that you're going to be able to plug in the backup there and that as a unit, that defense is still going to be able to be effective.
We got to take a break. According to their depth chart, their backup is Eric Murray in his second year out of Minnesota. I'm sure they'll adjust that probably. Not a lot of experience for him. Yeah, Kyle.
Yeah, and in this AFC West division, I mean, Eric Berry would be a very important player for them. You got Jared Cook in Oakland, who's an athletic tight end.
Yep.
You've got, his name escapes me, the second-year guy in San Diego,
Hunter
Henry.
Hunter Henry.
Very good young athletic tight end. And we saw what Eric Berry did to Rob Gronkowski last night.
Yeah.
Covered him very well. So that's going to be a huge loss for the Chiefs. But I agree with Katie. I think they'd rather have a win.
We'll take a break. Sean Salisbury coming up next, 7:35, top of the hour. We'll give you one more chance on this show. Lowdown will have the rest of the day there to get into our Vlade Peja, Doug, and Bobby extravaganza next Wednesday, 8 to 9 a.m. at the Wingstop Soundstage. Come in, hang out with those guys while we do an hour of a show with them. We'll take a break. We're right back to Sports 1140 KHDK. I'm reading a text here, and
I'm so proud of you.
No, it's just I don't know if I want to read it or not. This is from the mind of our listeners. Okay, I'm just going to read it. This is from loyal listener Justin. Dave, have you heard of King Philip's War? Starts in 1675 with the Native Americans going through and attacking New England colonists at the beginning of the war. And after the colonists rally and go destroy the tribes and eliminate the Indians and their chiefs, if you think about it, the Chiefs last night destroyed the New England Patriots. And if you put two and two together, maybe we just might see the Patriots get on a roll and beat every team in sight and finish it off with beating the Chiefs later on this season. Mind. Mind blown, Justin. That's what it is. It's King Philip's War.
I like what he's doing there, though.
I do, too.
I like it.
I had to read it.
Because I'm a history
sure.
person, so anytime we can bring a history,
yeah.
world history.
I'm surprised you haven't seen a documentary on it or a 30 for 30 or something.
It's going to happen.
Joining us right now, kicking off the season. And listen, Sean is nice enough to join us often in the offseason, so I don't want to just call him our NFL guy because God knows we can talk to Sean about everything. Katie, you were gone last week. And Sean was right in the middle, literally right in the middle of Hurricane Harvey. And we had some of the best radio, I think, that we've ever had, just listening to Sean, who is always passionate and the things he's doing down there. And thank goodness he was safe throughout the whole thing. Sean's going to join us every Friday at 8:05. Now we're at 7:35 right now, but normally it'll be 8:05. He will join us, and we will talk, obviously, football throughout the year. So happy to have him, as always. It is Sean Salisbury. Sean, it's Dave and Katie. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
First and foremost, before we get into football, you're our friend. Are you good, or should I say as good as – how are things down there?
Well, I'm fine. You know, you're always concerned about others. I mean, we've been fortunate that we've had about 6-7 days of sunshine, and it's going to continue. So it's obviously no more rain in the near forecast, which is nice. But the efforts continue. You know, I've got some buddies that have come in from outside. You know, all the way from California that brought trucks in to help. People from the East Coast that have brought trucks in to help. I mean, the one thing that, you know, knowing people survive, and there was lives lost and homes lost and 500,000 automobiles lost, but. Now still the difficult part comes in. Reality kicks in. People realize that they don't have a home to live in or have a car to drive. They still got to get to work if their job's still, you know, if that building's not flooded. And now reality sets in for the next months. And I talked to one builder who said it'll take 2 years before this community and this city is back to somewhat normal around. But the efforts of far bigger heroes, trust me. I'm no hero. I did a minimal part, but you do all you can to help. But so many people from far and wide and in Texas and in this town of Houston and surrounding areas have been nothing short of phenomenal. And this Sunday in that building with what J.J. Watt's done as a humanitarian even before Hurricane Harvey, coming back from injury, the opening game, the distraction that people here need for 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday after what they've been through. Like I said, my mind's fine. It's those people out there are the real heroes that are still suffering through it. So you do all you can. But the energy in the building on Sunday here at NRG Stadium will probably be as loud as you will hear at any time this season in any building. And the emotions, I'm sure, of tears and joy will be nothing short of phenomenal. But the efforts by people far more important and far more heroic than a lot of us hopefully will continue to be noticed, but the real heroes are the ones who had to survive some very, very difficult circumstances and get through it.
Well, Sean, I mean, obviously catastrophes like what has happened with hurricane, and it's, you know, Florida is in for it now, and you never want to see this happen. But one of the things I love about things like that are going on in the world is to see the sports world kind of react and get involved. And last time I saw, I think last night they put a graphic up during the game that J.J. Watt's his fundraising is reached over $26 million at the last count, which after they threw that up for the game, I'm sure it's even more than that. But, you know, you have athletes from all over doing different things. You have celebrities. Sandra Bullock gave $1 million. You have, you know, Tracy McGrady fed 800 people over Labor Day. Those types of things. To me, we talk a lot about, you know, when you think about what we do, Sean, we talk about sports. Not really a big deal. But that kind of stuff to me is what makes sports amazing.
Well, it's those rallying efforts. Like, you know, we kid J.J. Watt here in town, and it's kind of a running joke about, well, if you want to know what J.J. Watt's doing, just go on to his Twitter handle. You know, in the past about, you know, his box jumps and that he's, you know, walking a, helping a baby duck across the street. You know, it's all in fun, but man, and not as vicious, but as, man, you know, J.J. Watt does everything, and you kind of kid about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then you'll get people that are vicious that want to say, oh, it's just a self-promoter. Let me tell you something. If self-promoting raises $30 million and saves lives and changes the lives of others, I hope that guy self-promotes every 15 minutes mm-hmm. on his Twitter. You know, we joke about those things, but it's from J.J. to Jimmy Fallon popping up on The Tonight Show, giving another million. And trust me, I know that we only a lot of times see and hear about celebrities in sports because they're the ones that are in the media, and that's the one people want to talk and write about. But there are just as many that don't have a dime to give but are exhausted after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days that are knocking down drywall before they go to their own job to help their neighbor who has no place to go. So, yes, but you're right, Katie. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see a guy like you. The NFL Man of the Year Award's over. It's his. I mean, he didn't have to play it down. And I guarantee he didn't do it for that. The guy, he also put on a pair of shorts and work boots and is in there loading up trucks, not just getting money, but doing what you're supposed to, putting boxes on trucks so those 18-wheelers can go feed people. The money's important, but there's certain people who can't wait for a check from the insurance. They need money and help, food, shelter, now. And guys like J.J. Watt, you mentioned Sandra Bullock, or anybody from in and around Mattress Mack, who you guys now have obviously heard of, who's a local furniture guy here. There's nothing short of phenomenal. I wish we could do that. The sad thing is that it takes this kind of thing to route to go arm in arm, because not one person took somebody out of water or knocked drywall down and said, hey, man, what are you, a Republican or a Democrat?
Mm.
Not one person helped the baby out of the water and said, Are you white or black? Now, one person helped up and said, did you vote for Trump or Clinton? Now, one person picked up and said, what religion are you again? What they did is they helped whoever's in need. And that, I wish, you know, that we thought about that every day, that it didn't matter race and religion and what you thought and what your personal beliefs were and where you went to church and how much money you made. Because tragedies know zero. They know no. That you can be as rich. There's plenty of rich people that their houses were affected and ruined too. So Mother Nature doesn't give a crap. And it's so great to see celebrities, because we see them, but everybody rally around. And you wish every day of life was like this. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a loud message to say, you guys better get your crap together and quit making tragedies be the reason. You got to put your arm around the white and black and Hispanic and black and Mormon and Protestant and Catholic and Jewish and man and woman. I mean, and old and young and fat and thin. I wish it was like that every day. I do. I know it sounds corny, but I do. But it is nothing short of phenomenal when you see relief efforts of people. It doesn't matter, man. It's time to put on boots and a pair of jeans and waders and go help somebody save a life or watch what they're doing, let alone the money, but the elbow grease and the digging in that really is going to help these people. Heroes are made every day, and unfortunately we're not going to hear about them all, but the ones we do hear about have sure made a difference, that's for sure.
Sean Salisbury joining us on KHK, and definitely want to move on to last night's game, Sean, but I do find it ironic. I searched Twitter, I searched Facebook, I went on all the social media sites. I didn't find anybody asking J.J. Watt to stick to sports. It's funny.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Stick to sports. Everyone, we're going to stick to sports now. Boy, oh boy. And isn't it funny how, and I was talking to a celebrity athlete yesterday who said, you know what's interesting? He goes, I liked J.J. Watt, but I wasn't a fan. You know, he wasn't on my team. He goes, but you know what? I don't care. When that guy's playing, I root for him now. I want him to make every tackle and every damn play that he makes. So you're exactly right. But no, don't stick to sports, dude. You stick to doing what you do. Quite frankly, he's the best defensive player, 3-time defensive player of the year, and is on his way to one of the great defensive players ever in a Hall of Fame career. The truth of the matter is he's a better humanitarian. Now, you think about that. This is the greatest defensive player in the last 6-7 years on the planet. By far, 3-time defensive player of the year, and is coming back. And he's not even close to being this type of he's not even close as a football player to the way he is as a humanitarian. And it's not just from Harvey. This dude's been doing this since he waltzed into this town. So it's safe to say, no matter what sport it is, he is to us what Junior Seau, God rest his soul, and Tony Gwynn, when I was raised in San Diego, with some with you know, all around. Everybody has those athletes. Say that what Derek Jeter was to New York. That's what he is to these people here in Houston. It's unbelievable.
Sean, going to last night's game, as an ex-quarterback, and this is where I really love talking to you, as a guy who's been in there, Alex Smith, game manager, Alex Smith, short passes, Alex Smith can't throw the ball downfield. Well, it's one game, but 300-plus yards, four touchdowns, and two home runs. I don't know if you ever dealt with the same type of stuff that Alex did, but you think Alex would sit there and go, you know what, dummies, what I'd love to do is come out in the media and say, yeah, I can throw the ball freaking 80 yards in the air. I'm in the NFL. I don't have the personnel or the offense to be able to do this. So what you call game managing, I'm calling doing the best with what I have.
You know what, Dave, that's a great point. And listen, since Alex Smith was in San Francisco, and I've told people, I think he's the most underrated quarterback in the league. I do. The guy had a coordinator after coordinator after coordinator, coach after coach. They got rid of him when he was leading the league in passing. If you recall, when he got hurt before Kaepernick took over, he was like at 100. He was like, his quarterback rating was like 100. There's been a lot of disrespect. Now, there's been a limit to his game. Let's just put it that there has been. He's in the NFL and he wins this many games because he can make every throw. Now, the one negative that if it's a perceived negative, you know, about him is that they don't push the ball, and they haven't had the first. Now, their receiving core has been, quite frankly, you know, tell Tyreek Hill Walt's been there, a little bit of Macklin, and before that, you know, Bo from LSU, but he wasn't a big play guy, is they really didn't have it. And Andy Reid's always been, when he was in Philadelphia, Andy Reid likes the West Coast offense, slants, short passing game. He does. The one thing for Alex Smith that and on my show yesterday and all week leading into this game, in the last couple of years, I've said, listen, he wins, he'll get you to the playoffs, but he can't carry a team by himself until he himself decides that, you know, there's that feeling of a quarterback, guys, when you drop back, it's like a good jump shooter. When you're speaking in local where you guys are, not too far, it's Steph Curry.
Yeah.
When he comes off the curl or catches the ball at the elbow or, you know, brings it up and he decides to hoist it, there's no hesitation. And if he misses, that's okay. He's going to shoot a second one. There's an ability, and a quarterback's similar. And if it's a baseball hitter that says, you're going to throw me a fastball, I'm going to tell you, dude, I'm cutting loose. He may miss off the plate, but I'll foul it off. But I'm going to pull the trigger. I think Alex's biggest weakness is his ability to, when it's there, don't hesitate, pull the trigger. And last night showed that he pulled the trigger. And there's a couple things. Maybe the fact that they've tried to replace him, not tried to, but a future replacement in Mahomes, who's a completely different player than Smith. He is a downfield, big-arm guy that doesn't know how to do what Alex does, and that's making every play underneath, which is a great strength of Alex Smith. But it's almost like he said, you know what, hell, I'm a year or two if they replace me. I'm going out in a bang. I'm going to throw this ball down and I'm going to take some shots. But there was people who won last night. They separated. Yes, he can make all the throws. The question is mentally for him, was he willing to take that chance? Show me a quarterback without guts or take a chance taker, and I'll show you a guy who won't win many. Brady, Rodgers, Favre, Marino, Elway, they all took chances when necessary. Not stupid. They just didn't play scared. And I think at times Alex has been so close to the vest and doing what the coach says and protecting the football and being efficient but not pushing the envelope. Every now and then in our jobs that we do, you better step over the line every now and then. You better cross that line and get your hand slapped. And that's what a quarterback needs to do. You need to sometimes say, when you go over to the sidelines and you miss a deep ball and the coach says, why didn't you throw the shallow crosser? Because I have one-on-one coverage and I'm going to take me some shots. And you and the coach bang heads and fight with each other, and then you move on to the next series. And it seems to me like maybe Alex got a little extra push last night. He can play. I'm telling you guys, he can flat-ass play. And last night showed me something. They had more weapons, guys running after the catch. I loved what I saw with Alex Smith last night. And I tell him he can win, man. Now, I don't know if you're going to get that every week. But the guy's been a winner since he came to the league. He just needed an extra boost that said, you know what? I'm about to show you exactly what I can do. If you're going to replace me, then I'm going to go out. I'm not leaving the bat on my shoulder. I'm going to take some cuts. There's no way. Patrick Mahomes isn't even in his league right now when it comes to decision-making. So Alex Smith's the Chiefs quarterback. I liked what he did last night, and he will have them in the playoffs. The question is, do they have enough playmakers like last night to continue to extend that in the postseason where he says, screw it, I'm going to take some shots?
You know, Sean, to me, without a doubt, the AFC West is the most difficult division right now in the NFL. And when you look at what the Chiefs were able to do, opening night against the defending champs. I think it surprised a lot of people, the way in which they beat them and how handedly they beat them, especially that fourth quarter. But what do the Chiefs have ahead of them challenge-wise in the AFC West?
Well, they got a Raider team that we know is better and is the best team in the league with a quarterback who's about to take another step towards stardom. They're so close. They added physicality with Lynch, so, and they're tough. So that's the class of the AFC West it is. But the difference between the first-place team and the last-place team isn't very much. Mm-hmm. Right now, to me, the worst team in the division is the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. They're the worst team in the division. They got former defensive player of the year sitting on their team. Their defense has got two corners that go to the Pro Bowl every year. I mean, they're well-coached. This is a good football team, yet there's one point, Demaryius Thomas is on there. I mean, they can play. The problem is, can we find a quarterback? And we know how important that is in the league. But they're still good. They'll beat a team they're not supposed to beat because of their defense. The San Diego Chargers, if they can stay healthy, Bosa and Melvin Ingram, I'm telling you right now, guys, they are monsters on the edge. The pass-rushing defensive ends, when you get Ingram and Bosa and Miller and Mack, I mean, and then you saw last night with Houston and Dee Ford, what they bring to the table. This is if you're a quarterback, you better have a coat of armor on and a suit of armor every time you play. So quarterback, and the Chargers are better. They just got to be they've got to be healthy. Keenan Allen's got to stay on the field. And we obviously know what we saw with the Chiefs last night. Last night was not a joke. People, I mean, now we're going to have over – I can tell you three things I know for sure, and I said it on Twitter. One is the Chiefs kicked the Patriots' ass last night, six ways to Sunday. They just did. Physically, mentally, emotionally, they did everything right, made more plays. They were better last night by far. Two is the Patriots are not going away. There's no better team. I've seen this movie before, guys, that I've seen the sequel – I've seen it all, and I've seen this team respond. And this same team did this, and everybody – I remember two guys, Trent Dilfer and Donovan McNabb, questioning and saying, Brady may be done. After the Chiefs game, a handful, if you recall, he was doing like 2-2. Brady was done. The Chiefs put him through the ringer. And I can remember everybody across the country questioning, well, it's time to move on. Well, the Super Bowl later, Brady turned out pretty good. So just when you think they're done, they're not done. They're not going to lose. They're not losing five games this year. This team will be back. They will go back, and they will find a way to fix this. And three, we will overreact. We'll have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and the Patriots to battle the Jets for last place in the division. That's how stupid we are as media and fans. But the Chiefs are real now, and because they do it all well. And I told my group the other day going into the show yesterday, I said, you keep an eye on this running back because everybody, well, their running game's not very good. I said, when we come out of tomorrow night's game, you're going to see that the Chiefs running game didn't miss a beat. Well, I didn't know he was going to be that good, but this is Andy Reid. No, this running game for the Chiefs will keep them in it. Plus, he can catch out of the backfield. Kansas City Chiefs, as long as they'll make the big play and take some shots, their defense is good enough to keep them in every game.
Last thing for you, Sean. You know, of course, it's Overreaction Friday, and we had some fun with it in a few segments ago where we were inviting those overreactions. You know, Alex Smith's going to break Tom Brady's record. Chiefs will go 16-0, blah, blah, blah. But if I were to say to you the following, the Patriots are in trouble. They can't juggle this much on offense now with Amendola perhaps out with a concussion for a while, Julian Edelman gone. There's one. Tom Brady is old. Father Time is undefeated. The dude's 40-plus years old. We saw it right in front of our eyes last night in his accuracy.
The defense is bad.
The defense losing Dante Hightower, at least for a little bit. That's the one guy they can't afford to lose. And then finally, the Patriots were actually exposed last year. Although they came back, the Falcons exposed them 28-3, and then the Falcons choked that thing away. This is just a continuation of the Patriots being exposed. Do you buy into any of those things that I said?
Yeah, they're hurt, and it hurts their depth.
Yeah,
the wide receiver core is limited with injuries. Mm-hmm. Brady is 40, but I don't think that I do believe he was 28-1 or 28-2 touchdowns, interceptions. And probably should have won the MVP. If he plays the other four games, Matt Ryan doesn't win the MVP.
Sure.
I could tell you this, when the season is over, yeah, and I do buy that they've got to go back. That last night was and what the Atlanta did, but think about the last two teams they've played. Kansas City played the best game they've played in, I don't know, maybe in 3 years or 5 years, and they did it on the road against a good team. And the Atlanta Falcons were the number one offense on the planet last year. So they haven't faced stiffs, but Is there a lot of concern? Sure there is. Whenever you get beat like they got beat, not the score, but how they got beat. But I can tell you two things. Like I said, I've been in this long enough to know. The Patriots will win the division, and the Patriots will be staring at the Patriots will be staring right at February, whether it's the Raiders or the Steelers will be in their way come AFC Championship time. They will not go away. As long as number 12, he will go back to the drawing board. He didn't get old overnight. He works too hard. The New England Patriots are going to be fine. I'm not, like I said, we had this conversation week 6, and they're 2-4 now we're talking, and you'll start to hear whispers. They're not losing 3 in a row. That's not going to happen. They won't lose 3 in a row at any point in time, let alone maybe 2 in a row all year long. If they're going to win 11 or 12 games. So I believe part of the injuries are a problem, but no team recovers quicker, faster, and is more next man up than them. They will find a way to turn some guy, Joe Sixpack and Harry Hatchet ass, into a player before the year's over. And as long as Belichick and Brady are at their best, and they will get back to their best, you won't see Brady play worse all year long. How's that? That'll be the worst game you see him play all year in my mind. And that team, their defense, they will find a way to fix it. The Raiders will be playing in January. The Patriots will be playing in January. And so will the Raiders, for that matter.
Atta babe. Former USC quarterback, former NFL quarterback, Sean Salisbury. You can hear him 1-5, SB Nation Radio. Also, you can hear him on a few different shows. He is America's guest. He's the best that does it. And if you're going to do anything, tune into his show on the BN Network for The Wrath of Sean. It's one of my favorite segments on all of sports radio. And I'm being sad. That thing, and follow Sean at Sean Unfiltered. He'll usually repost them, or his show Twitter will post them. And I watch them every single day. Sean, you guys are doing a bang-up job, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on real quick. You know, so I keep subliminally saying the Raiders.
Yeah.
So I keep saying the Raiders in place of the Patriots. I'm hoping that I'm right by the end of the year in February. So we'll see. I'll talk to you guys. Thanks.
You got
All
it,
right,
brother.
Sean,
see
have
ya.
A good one.
That is Sean Salisbury. We will take a break. When we return, a couple things for you. We got Greg Papa, the voice of the Raiders, coming up at 8:05. He will be coming on every Wednesday at 8:05, but it was actually his idea. He said, "Hey, I'll pop on early before the game this weekend."
Of course.
So, Greg Papa coming on to do that. Hopefully, you guys will behave, you and Greg.
We're not talking about the Warriors, so we'll be fine.
All right. We also will give you our final word in the morning, the Text to Win contest. If you missed the announcement earlier, next Wednesday, Wingstop Soundstage, 8 to 9 a.m., we will be broadcasting with Vlade Divac, Peja Stojakovic, Bob Christie.
Bobby Jackson and Doug Christie.
Bob Christie. I'm going to wear
all
that all day long.
Dave. We'll
all
get day it together long. In the next segment.
We've got tickets to give away. We'll give you the word to text in. We also have Republic tickets later on. Guys, it's a packed last hour. Don't not tune in next. That's
Don't
a drive.
Not.
That's a double negative. I'm out. I'm still Bob Christie, dude. It's Sports 1140 KCK.